Psalm 1 and Daniel 9. Heidi said they have the military flying over Sydney to make sure everything's locked down for 9 deaths in the entire country. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? 3 in Sydney. 3 people. And that's even questionable about their deaths. So it's crazy. And the wonderful thing is the Bible predicts a lot of this. So if we can rest in the Lord about our salvation, we can rest in Him about our life. So Psalm 1 is an individual who is blessed and resting in the Lord, Psalm 1. And then Daniel 9 will be the appropriate prayer that Americans could or should pray for a possible solution. Psalm 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the media. The ungodly, one and the same. Nor standeth in way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, there's the plus side. Daniel 9. Here's results when a people turn their back on God. This will be the results 70 years later. Daniel was reading. He's probably 85 about this age, at this age in Daniel 9 verse 2, about 85. He's about 15 when he was taken away from Judah. And they tried brainwashing him for 3 years. And he withstood the test. Daniel 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years. That happens to be Jeremiah's writings. Whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. Of course, if I'd have kept reading it, I showed you that. That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And so here's the prayer. I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to keep them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us, confusion of faces. That is a general spirit of our age. Confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us. That curse is outlined in Deuteronomy 28. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd, Lord, if there's any mercy for our country, I pray for that. And I pray for us to have faith in your words and not get caught up in the spirit of this age, the spirit of fear. I pray you'd help us to be the Psalm 1, blessed man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, in Psalm 1, the blessed man avoids bad counsel and seeks good counsel from the scriptures. The spirit of our age is quite clear. It's quite obvious. And one needs to discern the spirit of our age to combat spiritual warfare. Confusion and fear are clearly prevalent throughout the world and prevalent in America. And now, you know, they're putting the diapers on the kids' face in the school, and you're seeing fear come from their eyes. It's these tyrants are using the media and the military to accelerate their fear into a forced compliance or voluntary compliance, if there's such a thing. The dissenters and the nonconformists are ridiculed and shamed into compliance. We've had 18 months to discover the deception and lies of this planned pandemic. It was planned. In fact, it was written about in 2010 in a Rockefeller Foundation. I could give you the article. They named China. Okay? I mean, it's like not only is the Lord a prophet, but these beings are prophets. It is clearly practice run for the tribulation. Depends how you look at that. That's exciting. That's exciting if you're looking for the rapture of the church. Man, that's exciting. Now, there are multiple reasons to doubt the narrative of the media, and I'm not going to go through all the multiple reasons. And the corporations, which are created entities of the government, are pushing more and more lockdowns. Okay, now, and these forcing children to put a diaper on their face when the ailment is a 99.98% recovery rate for those kids. It makes no sense. Anybody that's got a brain is thinking and sees that what's going to happen. Australia are forbidding the churches to meet, and that's on purpose. One of the men down at Rensselaer, and I don't know if it's his company or a friend's company, had 2,000 people in the company, and the one guy said, I don't know one person in our company who died from COVID, but I know six who died from the jab. Two didn't even walk out of the office. But you can't prove that unless they die within 15 minutes. 15 minutes, 30 seconds. Okay, it was something else. He got run over by a truck. I mean, it's just nonsense. If you look at the death rate in America, the death rate clearly is itself. The death rate in 2020 was 8.9 people out of 1,000. 2019, 8.8. 2018, 8.7. 2017, 8.6. 1968, 9.6. What happened to LBJ's administration? 1950, 9.7. Okay, I would dare say many of these deaths are due to improper treatments by the medical industry. Healing can be attained through various means. And a year ago, May, I went into Tractor Supply, and I bought me two boxes, two cartons of ivermectin. This one's for cows. That's how much I've used. Get a little tightness in my chest, a little couple drops in the bottom of my feet, one there, go eat a bale of hay. Because this one's for cows. Chew my cud for a while. Next morning, it's gone. If you get the one with the horses, if somebody asks you about counting, you might go like this. If they, that's the only side effects you got with this. But that's so easy. A doctor testified in front of the Senate a little over a year ago that said this has 100% cure rate on COVID. That's higher than 99.9. Now, if you don't believe it, hey, it's a very inexpensive thing. It's not going to hurt you. You might, you know, maybe Hank will start having to have you in his pasture. But I've used this multiple times. And, of course, doctors can't say because it said, let's see, it's not for use of humans, it's for animals. Well, didn't we evolve from an animal? Didn't that what they said? So what's the problem? I'm one, hey, if there's a simple solution to something, why not take the simple solution? And if the simple isn't the solution, then you go the next step up. And the next step. You know, and so it's just phenomenal what's being pushed, and the jab is clearly spreading the disease. Dad talked to a gentleman out of Kentucky. 40 people in his church got the jab. 40 people have COVID. They got a quarantine. Why do something that's guaranteed when it's not? You see, and so in Daniel 9, I would dare say Daniel's confession is the answer to the present situation. But unfortunately, the churches are demanding God to bless America when we do not deserve it. We need to beg God for mercy. Okay, and Daniel's confession in Daniel chapter 9, he learned this idea of the 7 years from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And if we go to Jeremiah, we're going to find, if you study Israel and Judah, Israel and Judah are examples to all nations. And so whatever they experienced, okay, other nations are going to experience the same. When they turn their back on God, then Judah and Israel demonstrate it. Now, I would dare say Jeremiah lived during a pandemic. A real pandemic. Okay, a real pandemic is if we take Lowell, put a fence or a wall around Lowell about 20 feet high, nobody goes in, nobody goes out, and an army surrounds it for 18 months. That's a pandemic. That's what Jeremiah lived through. And mothers were eating their own children during that pandemic. So if we go to Jeremiah, we might learn some things from Jeremiah. And we can learn how he reacted. So if you read Jeremiah, so if you're in Daniel like I am, you go backwards to Jeremiah. It's got 52 chapters, which is a full deck. And in that full deck, you have 13 times the word backslidings is found. 13. Okay, now Jeremiah, when you read through the Bible, you remember you got to approach the Bible two ways. One is an immediate application, and then one is a futuristic or doctrinal application. Jeremiah remained faithful during a real pandemic of Jerusalem. Historically, he warned Judah, the people of Judah, and he personally experienced this pandemic of Babylon. He described in detail what he witnessed in Lamentations. So after Jeremiah, you have a very little short book, 5 chapters, lamenting. Okay, and he mentions in there women eating their children of a span long. Okay, a span would be from here to here, 9 inches. So it's obviously a preemie or born dead. And since she's starving to death, she turns around and eats the child. Okay, Lamentations 2:20. 2 Kings records some of this too. Now that is a pandemic. Okay, now Jeremiah also in Lamentations and in Jeremiah, Jeremiah portrays the Jewish remnant of the 144,000 Jews. No, they're not JWs. They are single men who will be running around the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah was the only prophet who was told by God, don't get married. He could not get married. And so he lived all through that as a single man. And he portrays the 144,000 Jews. So when you read Jeremiah, you get historical information, but also you get prophetic information. Not only for our nation, but for the Jews of the tribulation. So how did Jeremiah endure this? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 shows what he delighted in. Jeremiah 9, 23. And it's very similar to what David delighted in Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Jeremiah 9, 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Okay, so their education. Okay, let not the mighty man glory in his might, in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what David delighted in Psalm 1, verse 2. That's why he was blessed. He delighted in the words of God. How much did Jeremiah delight in them? In chapter 15, verse 16, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. What's eating at you, Jeremiah? The words of God, that's what's eating at me. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Okay, in these 52 chapters, the word backsliding, the backsliding of Israel, is found 13 times. It's found 17 times in the Bible. In chapter 2 of verse 19 is the first occurrence used by him. And he said this, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Now that was historically Judah, but doctrinally, that's any nation that turns their back on God. And so that's what's reproving us. Now, the word pastor and the plural is found 9 times in the Bible, 8 of them in Jeremiah. And look what Jeremiah thought about that crowd. Jeremiah 23, verse 1 and 2. The solution is not there. That's not where it's found. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, they have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And that entire chapter 23 is rough. It's like Matthew 23, Jesus tearing into the Pharisees. Here, Jeremiah was tearing into the spiritual leaders of his day. Jeremiah individually delighted in the words of God. And it's interesting that he stood alone. But secretly, some people would come to him and talk to him, like the king, Zedekiah, would come to him secretly and talk to him. Don't tell the new media, I've seen you. Don't tell anybody. And then he would tell him what to do, but he wouldn't do it. He told Zedekiah, go out those gates and surrender to Babylon. He said, you do that, you'll live out your life in Babylon. He said, go do that. That's what the Lord, go do that, Zedekiah. He didn't have the courage to do it. And the last thing Zedekiah saw, the last thing he saw, was his two sons being murdered in front of him, and then they gouged his eyes out. Can you imagine that? The last thing you saw is your son. And why? Because he wouldn't listen to that fanatical Jeremiah. Sad thing. Jeremiah delighted in the Lord. He delighted in the words of God. Even during a pandemic, he delighted in the words of God. What would he do? Look in Jeremiah chapter 7. He was very popular, meaning everybody knew about him, but boy, did they hate him. There's one time he said, Lord, I'm sick of this. I quit. And the Lord said, okay, go ahead. But then a word just burned in him, and he had to let it be known. Jeremiah 7, this is interesting. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So here's what the Lord told him. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, and enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. He said, everybody's coming in. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You know what that would be like? Go over to Rensselaer, St. Augustine, St. A's and St. E's. It's both those vowels. I got to get them figured out. If you can go over in St. E's on a Saturday night and hold a Bible verse sign and just say something like, Father Flanagan's lying to you. Boy, you'd get real popular, wouldn't you? Everybody, I would encourage you to, you know, have your life insurance policy up to date, you know, if that's something like that. That's what Jeremiah's doing. It's about like the big church down in Wheatfield had 3 days where they gave the jab to people. So Jan and I out there in front, you know, close to it, you know, 3 days in a row, you know, for a couple hours, you know, don't trust the experimental vaccine, you know, all that stuff. I'm sure they got the message on that. You see, Jeremiah says, don't trust these people. They don't delight in the words of God. The pastors today are relying upon a false interpretation of Romans 13 because of cowardice. That's why. Well, it says to obey. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. Jeremiah was branded. Okay, if you're in chapter 7, go to chapter 9, verse 11. 9-11, make sure we get that number, 9-11, and then we'll do the opposite, 11-9. 9-11, I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Boy, that was real uplifting, wasn't that? He's out there by himself saying that. Chapter 11, verse 9. Often when you're by yourself holding a Bible verse sign, people have more confidence to come up to you and kind of rail on you. If you got a bunch of you, okay, like this afternoon, maybe you, some of you can, around 2 o'clock, we'll go stand down the streets of Lowell. They're not so confident to come and bother you. But if you're by yourself, that's when they'll come bother you. But that's a blessing when they do. Because that gives an opportunity to, you know, talk with them and try to reason with them. Jeremiah 11:9, the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah. Whoa. Was he a conspiracy theorist? No, he's a conspiracy fact. All a conspiracy is two or more people in agreement to commit a crime. You mean to tell me you don't think two or more people are attempting to commit a crime? Obvious. Now, Ezekiel mentioned the same idea amongst the churches, the religious structure, synagogues of his day. And Jeremiah says it's in the political world. What was going on behind the scenes? If you go back to chapter 7, verse 6, remember this is the temple of God. What was going on behind the scenes? I think Obama just had a party of what was going on behind the scenes. Jeremiah 7, verse 6, he says, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, and shed not innocent blood in this place, shedding innocent blood, children, killing children in the Jewish temple, Jeremiah 22, the pastors, Jeremiah 22. How dark is that? Jeremiah 22, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. Okay, this is the king. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sitteth upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter into these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, deliver despoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place? What's going on behind the scenes? I think we would be shocked if we saw it. You see, this is a warning Jeremiah knew about, and he was warning them. But because of that, Babylon came in as a military campaign. Iraq came in as a military campaign three different times, about 6 or 8 years apart. And the first time when they came into Judah and attacked them and everything, they took several people captives back to Babylon. Daniel and his three buddies were four of them. And then they waited another 6 or 8 years to see how the people would comply. And then Babylon came back in. And that time around, they took Ezekiel and a bunch of other people back to Babylon. And then about 6 or 8 years go by, and they're seeing how Judah's going to comply. Are they going to obey out of fear? And then they surrounded the city of Jerusalem. It's about 200 acres at that time, so maybe even smaller. So it didn't take a whole lot. They got a wall around the city, and they just placed their soldiers around place. Anybody come out, they take them captive. Nobody could go in. Obviously, food's going to run out. 18 months, the food has run out. Okay, and Jeremiah is still within the city. Jeremiah stayed in the city, and God took care of him. Okay, and it looks like that Jeremiah took all those expensive furniture out of the temple at that time and hid them under the cave system in Jerusalem. Probably still there. Okay, but that's a pandemic. And what did Peter say to these people during this time period? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he said this. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Boy, that's a blessing. What he's telling us there. Let's try Psalm 27. Here's what he tells a Jewish individual during the tribulation time period. And this psalm, this is where, if you look at the doctrine of the Bible, the other truths pop off the page. Okay, Psalm 27, it says it's a psalm of David. So he's going to be writing this song about some of his experiences. And then the Spirit of God is going to interject some prophecy about the future. David is going to be like a type of Christ. Saul is a type of the Antichrist. And when David's on the run from the Antichrist, he is portraying Jewish people in the tribulation time period. In Psalm 27, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Is that literal? It is about the tribulation. Revelation 9 or 6 writes about that. He said, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." It's just a matter of what you're focusing on. He says, "For in the time of trouble," doctrine, that will be Jacob's trouble, "he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." You see, so Jeremiah warned Judah at the Jewish temple about their behavior and what they needed to do to get God's attention, to be revived by God. And also Jeremiah, also in Jeremiah chapter 9, he warned about the deception. In Jeremiah chapter 9. And this is why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. In chapter 9, verse 1, you can see that he is weeping about what's taking place, not so much about the, quote, pandemic, but because of the sin of Israel. Because they have turned their back on God. They have backslidden away from God. And Jeremiah writes, "Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." Is he using that just as a generic thing? Well, the Lord told him in Jeremiah 5, "I want you to run through this city. I want you to run through the religious community and the political community. If you can find one person that sought the truth and executed justice, one, I'm looking for one." The Lord said, "I will pardon him." Well, he didn't pardon him. That means there wasn't any. Not in the religious community, not in the political community. Now, Jeremiah himself obviously would have qualified, but he wasn't in those associations. He says this, "They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, for they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. They will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth." Who's like that? CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox. That's what they're doing. They're lying. So he says, "Will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." They refuse. Psalm 1, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Stop listening to the ungodly. Don't take their advice. Have a good day. Turn off the news. Fear is what they're promoting. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "We are not under the spirit of fear." Do you think that fear is going to be an encouraging to your neighbor, to somebody else that walks across you, or is it going to be your faith? We ought to be trusting the Lord. We ought to be excited. The Lord's coming back. This is just a warm up. Man, you gotta know, and it's opening people's eyes, but are they gonna open them to the Lord, the solution? He's the one that's the answer. Jeremiah was excited about these things, even though he cried about it. But what did he focus on? Look in Jeremiah 23, verse 5. 23:5. I mean, the thing is, as we're going through, we want to encourage each other. We help each other. You know, I am just amazed with your kindness toward Heidi. And she said it wasn't so much the money; it was the love that people expressed toward her. I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. And the thing is you got to help each other, encourage each other, because we're all going to be having pressure put on. Everybody's having pressure, depending from your job, from family, who are listening to the lies, and you can lose faith, and you got to encourage each other. Here's what Jeremiah focused on, Jeremiah 23, verse 5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Man, I'm looking forward to that day. Getting closer. "In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell safely." Hasn't happened yet. "And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. All uppercase letters. That happens 25 times in the Bible. 11 of them to the Father, 11 to the Son. Three are kind of neutral. And that's something. The Lord our righteousness. That's why in Psalm 1 it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, walk, stand, sit. If you give in to the walking, the next step down is standing with them. The next step down is sitting amongst them and pointing their fingers at the one who delights in the law of the Lord. Psalm 1:2. Why? Because this book is preserved without error. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Jeremiah 36, and that chapter is as forbidden to be read in a seminary as Isaiah 53 is forbidden to be read in Israel. They don't want to read Jeremiah 36. That's the preservation of the words of God. I love it. I love it. There's a guy named Brook in there who is, Jeremiah is in the Pokey in the Gray Bar Motel, and he asked Baruch to, he said, I need you to deliver this to somebody. And so he's writing it down, delivering it. And when they asked Baruch, how did you get you these words from him? And his answer is masterful. Oh, it's just, how did I get these words? Well, he pronounced them with his mouth, and I heard them with my ears. Jeremiah 23 said, what a masterful, what a dumb question. Obviously, he told them to me, and I wrote them down, you knucklehead. He pronounced them with his mouth. I heard them with my ears. I mean, what a thing. Jeremiah 30, man, that's a beautiful chapter that God has preserved his words without error. And he used that in Jeremiah. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words. If you get to fear, the spirit of fear, or if you watch something, balance it out by reading the Bible the same amount of time. Double it. Okay? And then just question what somebody is saying. But yet now, you know a terrorist? The definition of a terrorist now is anybody who questions the narrative of COVID. Used to be under Janet Reno. There was no John, Janet, in her high school graduating class. John Reno. It used to be, if you believed in the second coming and homeschooling, you were a terrorist. But now, if you question the narrative of COVID, you're in the terrorist mode. So, oh well, let them define their terms all they want. Doesn't matter. Lord's coming back. He's going to fix it. I mean, that's what we're looking for. I read the last chapter. You ever read the last chapter in the Bible? Man, just go to the back of the book and you get some encouraging words back there. It's exciting. I mean, Jeremiah delighted in the words of God, and I'm looking for the blessed hope. Some folks are looking for the Antichrist. Maybe it's that guy in France. I don't think so. I don't think he's got all the qualifications. Is he left-handed or right-handed? I'm not sure. I know Obama's left-handed, but I don't think he's still the Antichrist. You know, but, you know, maybe one of many, you know, all that stuff. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get that by delighting in the words, looking for the blessed hope. Man, we live in amazing times. Amazing times. And it's an opportunity to reach out and help others. Unless they're afraid to talk to you. And that's the tool of Satan. And so we got to try to help relieve folks' fears. Why? Because we're in a blessed book. Thank God for that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize the spirit of our age, what's taking place. Kids are going back to school and they're scared. I mean, you just put something on the face of a child and it's scary. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be good testimonies for thee. I pray that you'd help us to show people how the game ends. Jesus Christ wins. And you got to be on the winning team. Looking forward to that day. Looking forward to the day where you are the king in Jerusalem. Give us wisdom in these days to be faithful to thee and to be a help to others who are living in fear. Help them to give them the faith in Jesus Christ, to tell them about faith in Jesus Christ, that they might be like the blessed man of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.